Looks like I get to talk to you guys on this side today. And live stream audience, welcome. But today we're going to just jump right into some songs, some music, and just think about the contrasts that are in these lyrics. Think about the lyrics as you sing, and just let the truth lift you up. I just want to see you encouraged, hopefully, and lifted up today. So rise to your feet if you can, and think about the contrast in the lyrics of this song.
Was crowned with thorns, is crowned with glory now, a Savior now to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow, the one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. That held us now gives way to Him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. It's now alive in me. Your name is victory. Watched in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave.
Our God has robbed the grave. Resurrecting me in your name.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Oh,
he's resurrecting.
Lord God, we come before you today. You are the resurrected King. You came as a baby. You'll return as a lion. And you died in agony, and you rose in glory and power. And the same God who rose from the dead is going to raise us from the dead. So God, I pray that we'll be lifted up and encouraged, that you'll resurrect us. Help us to rise above the stuff that we're facing, the stuff that we're in, knowing that amazing things are coming. God, help us to be in awe, in wonder at who you are and what you've promised and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to keep on singing, and I hope you will be encouraged by this music and by this message, this stuff about this second coming. I hope it doesn't just freak you out, but encourage you what's coming. But today, one of the things, we've done this before, we're going to do it again. I think there's a slide. There's a slide. Praises and prayer. Prayer and praises. If there's something that you want to give praise to God for, send that as a text. Send it to that number. That's my number. That's the church number, 610-894-952. If you're on live stream or if you're here in person, anytime during the day, just during the morning service, send that text in. At the end, Shannon's going to share those. She'll pray for the things that are prayer requests, and we can give praise to God for the things that are praises. So just one other way to connect with each other, to share that, and we can share your celebration or your burdens. So do that sometime during the day, and we will share that together. But we want to keep our eyes fixed on Christ, no matter what's going on. We've got a pretty solid foundation. So this is a classic. We've sung it a bunch of times. We're going to sing it again right now.
Heaven's shores, oh my heaven's son, heart of mine.
Thanks for singing. You guys can have a seat.
Thanksgiving week, right? I don't actually have a message about Thanksgiving today, but hopefully this will give us what we talk about is definitely reason for thanks. I know some of you guys have been a little freaked out by things we're talking about, but it's good news. This is good news. So thanks for deciding to come today to worship with us, whether you're online. I know there are a bunch of people that join online, some people in different time zones that don't come right at this time. So hi, Joe. And it's good to be together, whether we're here online together or physically, but I'm glad that those of you who came physically are here, because it's just a lot more, it's more meaningful to me to be together. So long for that day when COVID is gone and all of us can be back together again. We do have a minor change. I sent an email out. We're asking that everyone keep their masks on pretty much the entire service if you possibly can. If you need to take a quick breath or something like that, that's okay. But we're trying to just stay with our community. And I mean, government said everybody needs to keep their masks on. We understand we're not obligated to comply to the government, but we do want to be as safe as we can. And for as many people as can feel comfortable coming to come. We got some new HEPA filters here, keeping the air nice and clean. So if you have to sneeze, go over there and sneeze, okay? All right, well, let's jump in. We are in this series. I think I have a slide for the, there we go. Predictions and prophecies, ready for anything. Somebody asked me this week, how many more weeks do we have of this anyway? Oh, we got a few, but that's all right. I'm going to start off with just kind of a little quiz for you. You're going to have to grade yourself, but how good are you at interpreting signs? You feel like you're pretty decent at interpreting signs? I think you're better than maybe some of you think. Yeah, I don't know if I'm very good at it. So here's a quick quiz. I'm going to start off really easy. Let's see how you can do with these seven signs. Here's the first one. What do you think? Can you interpret this sign?
Drive faster.
Drive faster. Okay, driver's ed, fail. Pretty simple, right? That means stop. You can read it. Let's take one small step forward. There's no words on this one. Can you interpret this sign? Yes.
Go.
Go. Absolutely. Okay, let's make it a little harder now. That was just to get you going. All right, what is this a picture of? Yeah, what do you see? A lot of leaves, and they're not all on the trees, right? What do you see, Will? You see this big tree, all these leaves that are not green. What is this a sign of?
Death.
What? Death. It's a sign of death. It is. It is a sign of death. The trees aren't actually dying. The leaves are dying, but the tree is not. And what's coming after the leaves all fall? Winter, right? And snow. For us in Pennsylvania, snow's coming. I hope we get snow this year. All right, so what's this a sign of? What do we got? What's coming? There's a baby coming, right? Never ask a woman if she's pregnant, but if they're talking about it, it's okay. There's a baby coming. Okay, what do we got here? This is getting a little harder. What's going on in this picture? Burning food. Yeah, this kitchen is filled with smoke. That's a sign that Dad can't cook. What are you going to say? The smoke alarm's going to go off. That's another sign. You might want to do something about it. All right, I think we got two more, I think. What is it? What do we have here? Will? Yep, these are lights on the dashboard, right? And like all the lights are going off. What does that mean? You got some problems. You probably want to pull over. If all the lights are on, pull over. There's an issue going on. All right, let's end with this one. What do we got here? Christmas. Yes, Christmas is coming. We're just over 1 month away from Christmas. Okay, so I just put seven pictures. How many of you got at least four of the seven signs correct? Hey, all right. So you're better than you thought, maybe. We interpret signs all the time. We are always interpreting signs. You see dark clouds off in the distance, you think a storm might be coming. You see somebody approaching you with a frown on their face, a different kind of storm might be coming for you. So there's different spring flowers, the smell of spring. You know summer's coming, right? Signs are happening all the time. Here's a sign from our passage today. Jesus said, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. Fig tree's our next sign. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Fig tree's a sign. And he's telling us all these other signs are indicating something else. So we're gonna look at some more signs today. And these signs that we've been looking at indicate the fulfillment of prophecy, biblical prophecy. So welcome to week number 4. This is number 4, predictions and prophecies ready for anything. And really this series is probably maybe about half of it is about recognizing the signs, like identifying, okay, these are signs. This is what Jesus said is going to happen, to identify, okay, this is one of those signs. The other half is really to understand, what am I supposed to do about it? If I start seeing these signs happening, how am I supposed to respond? What am I supposed to do? So that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping to accomplish in this series the next few weeks. We're actually going to go all the way through Christmas with this series. So hopefully it won't be scary and terrifying the whole time. But as we approach Jesus' first coming, we're going to talk about his second coming. And so Matthew 24, we already saw, here's some review, right? We saw 7 signs that Jesus' return is near. So how many of you remember one of those 7 signs? We're going to just kind of keep drilling it in. Zach, what's one? Natural disasters. What's another one? War and bloodshed. The great apostasy. Famine. Okay, that goes with natural disasters, right? Yep, exactly. That's the word in the Bible. What else do we see? What other signs?
Gospel spread everywhere.
Gospel spread everywhere. That's the good one, right? Anything else that you can remember? Global persecution of Christians. False messiahs. Did we get them all? Love grows cold. Now do we get them all? Good job. Okay, so that was 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday, we took a closer look at that guy we called the Antichrist, right? I know he gave some of you the willies. We're not going to talk much about him today, but he has a dominant role in the tribulation period. That was last week. The next section of Matthew 24, you can open there if you got a Bible with you. The next section, we're going to find 4 aspects of the second coming of Jesus. Not just the tribulation and the terrible stuff, but the second coming. What's it going to be like? Matthew 24, 26 to 35. What will the second coming of Jesus be like? And I'm just going to read that whole section right now. Matthew 24, 26. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there's a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Verse 29, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer's near. Even so, when you see all these things happen, when you see all these things, you will know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. All right, so we read that. You might have some questions in your mind already. But what I want to look at is, what are 4 aspects of Jesus' second coming? From this passage, what do we see? What's it going to be like when Jesus comes back? So let's look at it. The first aspect that I see right at the beginning is this. It's going to be quick. The second coming of Jesus is going to be fast. He says it's going to be like lightning. As lightning is visible from the east to the west, everybody sees it, and it's going to be fast. And how many of you tried to take a picture of lightning? Have you ever tried to take a picture of lightning? It's really, really hard. Take a video and then capture, right? That's the way we can do it now. But it's just going to be fast. If you just skip down to verse 40 and 41, there's a description more of what it's going to be like. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. It's just going to be fast. Just people are going to disappear. And this, it's just going to catch everybody by surprise. One of my favorite rides at Knoebels is not one of the most popular ones, but I can ride that thing again and again. I love it. It's called the Stratosphere. If ever you've ridden on the Stratosphere, it's you just strap in, there's like four people next to you, and it's just a tower. It just takes you slowly straight up, 140 feet in the air, and then stops. And you can look out over the whole park. It's a great view, but you can't really enjoy it because your stomach is just like rolling because you know what's happening. And they don't tell you how long they're going to wait. It's this pause, this dramatic pause, and you're waiting, and it just drops you. And I just ride that thing again and again because no matter how much you know it's coming, I cannot prevent this shriek from coming out of my mouth. It's like unstoppable. And your stomach is doing flips, and some of you are like, why would you do that to yourself? Some of you understand why we do this to ourselves. Like, I can just do that ride again and again. No matter how ready you are for that drop, the human body instinctively reacts and does all kinds of crazy things. I love it. I love that ride. The second coming of Jesus is a little bit like that. No matter how ready you are, no matter how well you know the prophecies, no matter how well you've got it all pieced together, you know it's coming, it will catch us by surprise. It's just how it is. The second coming of Jesus will be quick. Second aspect of the second coming, it will be preceded by unmistakable signs. Unmistakable signs. We talked about the seven signs already, right? And you guys did a fantastic job remembering all seven of them. But those are coming. Those are coming before. But then we've got things like the Antichrist. And he's gonna rule the entire world. You will not be able to miss that sign. That's an unmistakable sign. But in this passage right here, we've got, what do we have? I think I have a slide for it. Unmistakable signs. We got the Antichrist. We talk about that. But if you look at verse 29, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. So immediately after the distress of those days, one of the signs is the distress that comes just before it, Antichrist and all those things. That's another sign. Unmistakable. Then you've got these signs in the sky. This is a quote from Isaiah 13. You can go back. Isaiah talked about this way, way back. But he talked about signs in the sky in the day and the night. The sun will not give its light. The moon will not give its light. It's going to be crazy. I cannot imagine what it's like when the heavenly bodies are shaken. I cannot fathom that. What does that mean? These are unmistakable signs. When this stuff happens, everyone will know. And then you look at verse 30, and there's another one. At that time, and all these indicators, immediately after, at that time, earlier we said, and then the end will come. These are like, guys, it's right here. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So here's another sign. We got signs in the sky. We got the sign of the Son of Man. What is the sign of the Son of Man appearing in the sky? I'm not 100% sure. I did my studying and read what the smart people say, and they say there's three options. One of those signs could be the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Revelation 21 talks about it. This is going to happen. New Jerusalem comes down. That could be the sign. That's a big sign. It also could be from Ezekiel, the Shekinah glory. There was a time when the glory of God from the temple left, and it was like a pillar of fire, and he just left God's people. And some think that the sign of the Son coming, the Son of Man, could be that Shekinah glory coming back, saying God is coming back to be with his people again. Maybe. The third option, which is my preferred, it's Jesus. It's Jesus coming in the clouds, because he says that they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. This sign could be Jesus himself. Whatever the sign is, if it's the New Jerusalem, Shekinah glory, or Jesus himself, It will be unmistakable. Nobody's going to miss it. It says, all the nations of the earth will mourn. These are people who rejected God, rejected Christ. They will mourn. They will realize, oh my goodness, we were so wrong. They will mourn. Everyone will see the Son of Man coming. And when he comes the second time, everyone will see it. Now, I don't know if you have read this before or have given some thought to it, but if I go back to verse 28, he talks about vultures. And I've scratched my head over this verse. Wherever there's a carcass, there the vultures gather. It's kind of, to me, it feels a little out of place. Like, why is he talking about vultures right now? I think it's simply another example of signs. Where there's a carcass, vultures gather. If you see vultures swooping around, you know, you're driving down Route 95 on, you know, big highways, like, you see vultures. You know what they're doing, right? Everybody knows what they're doing. There's something dead, and they're going to eat it. They're just getting ready for lunch. This is appetizer for vultures. They just spin around in circles and get their stomachs ready, and then they go down and eat. So where the vultures gather, there's a carcass. It's a sign. And I think, I can't tell you exactly why that verse is there, but my best understanding, it's another sign. And Jesus is saying, I've given you a lot of signs, okay? You can see the vultures gathering. You can see these signs. And a lot of these signs are kind of morbid. There's death. There's bloodshed, right? We've talked about that. These signs indicate not just something terrible and bad, but something good is coming. The second coming is around the corner. And that second coming is kind of ominous and morbid to many who've rejected him. But to those who belong to him, this is not a bad thing. This is what we're made for. So let me throw this timeline back up on the screen. You guys saw this last time. What we're talking about right now is the second coming. And sometimes there's confusion. We talk about the rapture and the second coming. I believe those are two different things. Some people say it's the same thing. But according to the timeline we're working with, the rapture of the church is when God takes us away, right? We're whisked away, lifted up off the planet. We meet Jesus in the air. That's what Thessalonians said. The return of Christ is when he comes down and he touches down on earth. He sets up this millennial kingdom, 1,000 years. A lot of different views on that, but they're different events. They're different. So when we talk about signs of the second coming, they're a lot more clear than the signs of the rapture. So I wanted to take a time out from the second coming just for a minute to talk about the rapture for a minute, because there have been some discussions in home groups and things, and I want to clarify something. So just want to take you to the strongest passage about the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and just read that and then talk about it for just a minute. 1 Thessalonians 4, I guess I'll read it from the screen. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. And falling asleep means die, right? Those who fall asleep are to grieve, like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, Jesus said this, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. I love this passage. Encourage each other with these words. This is what Jesus said is coming for us. We'll be caught up with him and meet him in the air. Whew, man, what's that going to be like? But this is what it says. This is the idea of rapture, to be caught up, to be lifted up, taken away. That's the idea of the rapture. There's a lot of different views on it. Some people say it's the same as the second coming. Some people say it's going to happen right in the middle of the tribulation when the Antichrist comes. And some, like I say, it's going to be at the beginning before the tribulation, primarily because God's wrath coming down on the earth is not meant for his people. It's meant for those who've rejected him. So I believe we're going to go up and then come back down 7 years later. That's just a quick view of that. That being the case, if that's true, if we're taken away before the Great Tribulation, every mother who believes these things are true has asked this question. What's going to happen with my kids? Right? And I can't take you to the Bible verse that says, and all the children will be rescued from the earth as well. It's not clear. In Matthew, we read, let me just get back to my notes. Last week in the passage in Matthew, Jesus said it's going to be a dreadful time for pregnant women and nursing mothers, like when they have to run from the Antichrist. That'll be a dreadful time. So there's that. Is there any truth in the Bible that can ease our concerns for children who will be alive in that time period? And I think there is. You're going to have to think about this, because these are just, this is not proof. These are just evidences that I find in Scripture that tell me, I think God is not going to forget about our children. I think he has a good plan, and we can trust him in it. So let me just give you four thoughts as we think about that question. What will happen to children who are not able to make a decision of faith at that point? So four things. I'll just throw this up on the screen, and you can think about it. What will happen to my kids? Number one, we know Jesus cares about kids. No doubt about that. Mark chapter 10, he rebuked the disciples because they thought he didn't have time for them. Get the disciples away from me. Let the little children come. They matter to me. What God has said about children, they really matter. Jesus will not forget. This is not a part of his, oh no, I forgot about what happens to the kids. Jesus has and God have not forgotten about children in his plan to wrap things up and return. So that's one thought. Number two, we believe that very young children who die go immediately into the presence of God. And I get that from 2 Samuel 12 when David himself had a child, had a baby, who passed away. And he said this is recorded in Scripture. He said, my child will not come back to me, but I will go to him. I will go to him. So David at least believed that he would see his child again. So how's that going to work at the time of the rapture and all this? Perhaps children who cannot make a conscious decision for faith, perhaps they will be raptured too. I don't know. But he hasn't forgotten them. They matter a lot to them. And those who die without having a chance to believe will be in the presence of God. Number three, God's wrath, especially at this time of the tribulation, it's not for kids, it's for God's enemies. It's for God's enemies. And you can look at, I got the scriptures listed up here, but Revelation 3:10, chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, chapter 9, 3 and 4, chapter 16, verse 2. All these just keep saying the wrath of God is for God's enemies. That's what it's for. So if you're thinking right now, you might be thinking, well, do children today escape evil? They don't. There are many children who suffer in this world. Many children suffer, but there's a big difference between the wrath of God against his enemies and the suffering inflicted by sin and the sins of other people. There's a big difference between those things. So the wrath of God is not coming for children who can't even make a decision of faith. Last thing, we can trust in the goodness of our heavenly Father. He is a Father, and he's a good father. He's a father to the fatherless. He tenderly cares for his sheep. Psalm chapter 68, Isaiah chapter 40. We can trust him. He's good. He has not forgotten the children. So I can't tell you exactly how this is going to play out for kids. If we're the generation of all these things, how's that going to play out? But what I can tell you is God is merciful and God is just. He's merciful. He's just. He's not forgotten our kids. But I think it's also important to say that if God has given us kids to care for, our responsibility goes far beyond just feeding them and clothing them and helping them get a job later when they're old enough. We have a huge job, a huge responsibility to train them in God's truth, to teach them so that they are ready to face God. Because everyone, whether we're alive at the rapture and the tribulation, all this or not, everybody dies and will meet God. So our responsibility as parents is to train our kids to know God. So they're ready to meet God. And we all know they have to make their own decisions when they're ready and old enough to comprehend that. But it's our job to train them. And it's a big job, a big responsibility. So that's my best answer for what happens to children. Let's go back to Matthew 24. If you have follow-up questions, you can ask me, but I might not know the answer. Four aspects of Jesus' second coming. The first one is it will be quick. It's going to be fast. And the second one, it'll be preceded by unmistakable signs. Good, I can hear you even through the mask. That's great. Unmistakable signs. What is the third one? It will be global. Global. We know the return of Jesus. It will not be like Bethlehem. It will not be like a few shepherds and a few wise men. This will be global. Verse 26, if anyone tells you there he is out in the desert, don't even bother. Or here he is in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. This is not going to be a quiet, secret event. This is not just set aside for some small cult of people that say Jesus already returned. Nobody's going to miss it. It's going to be visible like lightning from the east to the west. And verse 30, who's going to see this? At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. All nations, every eye is going to see his coming. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him. These are people who died generations ago. They're going to see this too. This is not just global, but this transcends time. The second coming will be massive, universal, global event. All peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Those who rejected him will realize it's too late. Everybody's going to see this. Now, I like verse 31. This is maybe one of my favorite verses in this whole passage. What's going to happen? He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. They will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So here, there's this universal gathering of God's people. People who died long ago, people who were martyred for their faith, people who were raptured and lived and were taken away for the tribulation, and people who were still alive on the earth during the tribulation, all this gathering. And I think it's really cool. It says, he will send his angels, loud trumpet call. Joanne and I both play trumpet, so we're hoping that one of us gets to do that. Probably not. But angels are going to gather God's chosen people from all the corners of the heavens. And, you know, people talk about guardian angels, and when somebody dies, an angel comes and brings you from this side to that side. And this is maybe one of the few places where maybe there's a little bit of support for that, where he sends angels to gather all of his people for this universal gathering. This is going to be one crazy party when all those who believed in God from day one, I believe Adam and Eve will be there, right? All the way to the end, we'll all be gathered for this second coming. This isn't the rapture. This is the second coming, right? Everybody comes. Tribulation is over. The wrath part is over. And we have this global party that launches the millennial kingdom. It's going to be a big party. And everybody who's ever been a believer will be there. Can't miss it. Won't miss it. Won't even be possible. You will not be accidentally busy doing something else. The angel gets you and you're there. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right, one more. One more. This is going to be global, and it is absolutely certain. The second coming of Jesus is absolutely certain. The last two verses. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now look at verse 35 first. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This is more certain than the universe itself. The second coming of Jesus is absolutely certain. Now look at verse 34, because this is a mysterious verse here. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. What does that mean? This generation will not pass away. The people he was talking to, every one of them is dead. The whole generation that lived at that time, every one of them are dead. So either all these prophecies have already happened, or he wasn't telling the truth, or he means something else than those people in that generation would see it all come to pass. Because if you look at these prophecies, some people would say, well, it did all happen. Jerusalem was destroyed, it was leveled to the ground, and all these things have been fulfilled. Some people believe that. I have not seen the Antichrist rise up. I have not seen the sun darken, moon not give its light, stars fall from the sky, heavenly bodies shaken. I have not seen the Son of Man coming down in the clouds of the sky. Some of these prophecies have not yet happened. I don't care how much you allegorize it or whatever. It hasn't happened. It's still to come. So what does he mean when he says, this generation will certainly not pass away till all these things have happened? Well, what could it mean? He could be talking about the generation at that time. And then maybe he's referring to the destruction of Jerusalem. I don't think he's talking about the generation at that time. Another option, the word generation, and you look at your Bible, it probably has a note. It could be translated race. This race will not pass away. So as long as humans are alive, humans will not pass away until this happens. I'm just telling you, not telling you when, but it will happen. Human race, some people say the Jewish race. The Jewish race will live to see this happen. That's a possibility. But there's one more option that I hadn't really considered before that's starting to make more and more sense the more I think about it. And that is when he says, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. This generation is the generation that begins to see these things happen. When you see the Antichrist come, when you see global persecution of Christians, when you see the heavenly body shaken, it's your generation. That generation will not pass away. It's going to happen. You're going to see Jesus come in the clouds. That's the understanding that makes the most sense to me, that this warning is for a future generation. When you start to see these signs happening, hold on, buckle up, because it's coming. Your generation is going to be the one. That's my best understanding. That's what I would say he's talking to about. But I scratched my head about that verse for a long time. Sometimes I just got to sit down and think about it and do some more study and do some research. But that's what I think he's saying. So, four aspects of the second coming of Jesus. Let's review. Who knows? Let me see. Okay. Blank screen. First aspect. It'll be quick. I see a hand raised. Who's got another aspect? You don't have to go in order. Unmistakable signs. Somebody want to do the third one? It will be global. And what's the last one? Absolutely certain. Absolutely certain. So the when of all this is not certain. The when is uncertain. The what is absolutely certain. Jesus is coming back without a doubt. Acts chapter 1. This is the angels speaking to the disciples. Jesus just rose up to heaven, right? The first time. The angels say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Jesus is going to come back just the way he left. Coming back the same direction. He's going to take the same route. There's no question in the angel's mind. There's no question in Jesus' mind. So I ask you, is there any question yet in your mind that Jesus will come again? The second coming of Jesus, according to Scripture, according to Jesus, it's absolutely certain. And we are beginning to see more and more of these warning signs. I'm not saying we're the generation. I can't say that yet. Whether it's going to be fulfilled in our generation, I can't say for sure. But for me, I think I'd rather assume that we are that generation, because I want to be ready for anything. Whether it happens or it doesn't happen, I want to be ready, and we need to be ready. So that being said, our most important response in all this is to make sure we're ready. Make sure we're ready. Make sure our kids are ready. Make sure we're ready for Jesus' return. You can do street interviews, and there are going to be a whole lot of people that laugh it off as a myth, as a fairy tale, as wishful thinking. But I told you last week, God doesn't write fiction. He writes history. And he writes it before it happens. It's going to happen. No doubt. So we're going to talk more in the next couple of weeks about what we can do to be ready for his coming. But the most important thing to do is make sure your faith is in Jesus. That's the number one most important, is your faith in Jesus. What's the best known verse in the whole Bible? Best known verse in the whole Bible? John 3:16, right? Is there any young person who can quote that scripture for us without even seeing it? You know, do it? Go ahead. A little louder. Why? Who wants to do it nice and loud? Do you want to do it nice and loud? Anybody want to do it nice and loud so we can hear it? Okay, we can up the age to it. Who can quote John 3:16? It's a well-known verse. Don't make me stay in here. There it is. There it is. Since y'all were so timid, let's say it out loud, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's remember that. God's overarching affection towards people is love. He wants us to be spared from his judgment. That's why Jesus came the first time. He doesn't want us to be judged. He took care of the problem of sin by giving his life on the cross. But we've got to believe in him. We have to personally trust him to receive forgiveness. And when I use the word forgiveness, I'm making an assumption. The assumption is that we need it. And I don't know if you've thought about this before, but have you ever done anything wrong? Watching in on live stream, have you ever done anything wrong? Anything we do that's wrong, it's a sin against God. First, it's a sin against God. It's also usually a sin against someone else. Do I need forgiveness? I absolutely need forgiveness, and I have to ask for it. So you want to be ready for anything? Make sure you're on the right page with God. Have you asked for forgiveness? Universal forgiveness was provided on the cross, but it's got to be applied by each individual person. Faith, repentance. Repentance, that's turning away from those sins, those things that I did wrong. It's apologizing, confessing, but saying, I don't want to do that again. I need your help. That's repentance. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him, it doesn't matter how much faith you have. Jesus said faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to move mountains. So it's not about how much faith you have, it's about who your faith is in. And if your faith is in Jesus, when all these events are said and done, you will be safely home in the presence of God. When all these prophetic events are said and done, you'll be safely home in the presence of God. That's a promise. That's the promise of the gospel. So I want to talk to the kids for a second. Kids, put your trust in Jesus. Kids watching online, put your trust in Jesus. It's not just for kids, but I want to talk to the kids because I was 5 years old when I realized I needed Jesus. When I realized I knew I'd done wrong and it wasn't okay with God. I needed forgiveness. And I was a pastor's kid. It didn't matter. I needed to become one of God's kids. And I wasn't yet. And I remember when that teacher asked, is anybody ready to put their trust in Jesus? I knew it's my turn. It is my turn. And that Sunday, 5 years old, I became a child of God. So whether you're a kid or an adult, if you haven't done this yet, is today your turn? Is today your turn? You ready to trust Jesus for forgiveness of all the wrong things you've done? It's there. It's available. Ready to trust him for your future? There's some uncertainty in the future we're talking about right now in this series. But if you're watching online thinking, it's my turn. If you're a young person, if you're one of the kids and you're watching online, if you think it's your turn, talk to your parents about it. But even more than that, talk to God about it. Talk to God about it. Whether you're a kid or an adult, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're right with God. That you've received forgiveness. Everybody's got to do this. And so I'm just going to throw a prayer on the screen. This is not a magic prayer. This is just a reflection of heart. To just say to God, if you're ready for this, God, I know I've done wrong things. I've hurt other people. I've done things that you said not to do. I also know Jesus loved me enough to die for me so I could have your forgiveness. And I'm trusting Jesus right now for my forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for me. And because he loves me so much, God, I want to follow him the rest of my life. Thank you for accepting me. I'm just going to leave that on the screen for the next minute or so. And just, this is next step time. So I'm just going to give you a minute to, I'll be quiet, and you finish up with God. You think about, where are you with God? Have you received forgiveness? Are you afraid of the end times? Where is your heart with all of these things? Trust him with your kids. Trust him with your soul. Trust him with his plan. And just take a minute, you and God, do business with God, and then we're going to sing about the goodness of God. Just take a minute on your own, you and God.
Never fails me. Oh, my days, I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake till I lay my head. I will see of the goodness of God.
Sing that together.
I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will see of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Your goodness is running after me.
Goodness of God walked in the door, guys. You didn't get to see it, but I just saw Janet. We've been praying for Janet. She just walked in the door. So, Janet, we are glad you're back. It's great to see you. I think she might be around the corner down the stairs, but she just walked in, so that was cool for me to see. Shanna, come on up.
I have a lot this morning, so I'm going to get right into it. The first thing we have up is Saucony Cross. We have previously done a Christmas party at Saucony Cross in Kutztown, and we're obviously not able to do what we did in many, many years previous to now. So we're modifying it a bit and doing a deliverable meal. So we definitely need your help, and that can come in many forms. It could be preparing something and dropping it off. It could be donating some money for paper products. It could be helping to deliver, or it could be all of those things. So we will be doing that on Saturday, December 19th. We're going to start dishing up the food at Saucony at 11 a.m. So your food, if you sign up to prepare something, would need to be at Saucony by 11. And if you'd like to help dish and serve, 11 o'clock will be the time for that too. We're still working out the exact game plan, but likely it'll be dishing certain areas of Saucony, and a group will go out and deliver that while others remain and keep dishing and deploying to other areas of Saucony. So either way, this is our first year trying it like this, but I think any way it works out, it'll be a blessing to them to have a home-cooked meal near Christmas. So we hope that you can participate. There will be more information coming probably this week on signing up for what you can contribute. Praises and prayers. Got a couple text messages. One from P. Nate is two praises. This week he had an intensive counseling opportunity at Solo, and there was an immediate answer to prayer, so that's awesome. And two, which I will join in this praise, Abigail is coming home from college on Tuesday for the Christmas break, so hopefully we'll see her again and get to visit with her, but that's a praise. From Phyllis, or in P-Nate's phone, Mom Herlin, they are praising God that they can join together in worship anywhere via the live stream because they are on their way to Colorado. So, or they are at Colorado. They are there. So they're out there, but still here with us, so that's neat. AJ praise is that Angel's chemo is working. That is amazing. That's a huge praise. His tumor has shown to have shrunk some, and that was just from physically seeing it, not an actual scan to see the difference. So praise God. That's great. And then one prayer request from Joyce. Her brother Wayne has been diagnosed with cancer, and he sees a surgeon on Tuesday, and they're praying for a good plan for him. So I'm going to lift up Wayne, and then I'm going to go into a passage from 2 Thessalonians, and then we'll be done. Just a reminder that we can hang out here in the sanctuary till 10:15, and then we can transition downstairs. God, I want to lift up Joyce's brother, Wayne. It's so difficult to receive a diagnosis of having cancer. So I pray right now for his body that you may heal him, that you can give the doctors and surgeons and whomever he's going to see on Tuesday wisdom and knowledge to be able to just appropriately diagnose it and heal it. You are the great physician, and you're powerful and can heal that and give the doctors the tools that they need to heal it. So we're lifting him up and praying that he has peace through this process. In your name, amen. All right, before we go, 2 Thessalonians 2:13-17. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we have passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Have a good week.